Heavenly Father, I would ask that you would empty all of our minds of all of the clutter that is there, that we can focus on the message that you are bringing personally to each one of our hearts, that we can concentrate on you, we can remove all fear, all doubt, all anger, all trouble. And my words are less important than your words, so please open every heart that they may allow you to speak to them. Amen. What's it worth to you? This past week, I bought a bed. It's a bed for my mother so she could spend time at our house. Now, Dana found this bed for me on a website, and I drove up to Wyoming to purchase it. And here's where the story gets very interesting. The family that was selling the bed was asking $100 for it. Sounds good. I hooked up my trailer and drove up to Wyoming, and the gentleman helped me load the frame, the drawers that go underneath, the mattress and the box spring, and then I turned to him and asked him if he would do me a huge favor. Well, the money had not exchanged hands yet. And as soon as I said, "Would you do me a huge favor?" him and his wife both. I turned to him and I said, "Do you have a penny?" He said, "What?" And his wife pulled out a little coin purse and she opened it up and said, "Here." And I said, "Thank you." I said, "My wife gives me a hard time that I don't bargain, I don't barter. So now I can proudly go home and say that I talked you down in price." And they both laughed and I drove away. And when I got home, I told Roxy that they were asking $100 for the bed, but I talked them down. And she was so surprised until I handed her the penny. I did not go to a furniture store, wander the aisles looking at various selections, chase down a sales assistant, drive around the loading dock, spread out a million pieces on the floor, gather the appropriate tools, desperately try to interpret instructions, and assemble a bed. I thought to myself, what is this bed worth to me? And I answered, much more than $100. I wasn't just buying a bed from that couple. I paid them to go to the furniture store, wander the aisles looking for various selections, chase down a sales assistant, drive around to the loading dock, spread out a million pieces on the floor, gather the appropriate tools, desperately try to interpret the instructions, and assemble that bed. I paid them for their time. I paid them for the quality of their efforts. I paid them for their talents and their skills. I paid them what they were asking, but I feel that I got the best deal, even without the penny. When you looked at the title of my sermon today, what came to mind? What question did you think I was truly asking? And what answers had you already thought about giving me? Everything that you own was purchased by you or purchased by someone else and given to you as a gift. Everything that you own has value to you. Everything that you own has a price that was agreed upon, otherwise you wouldn't own it. Many things that you own continue to have value or increase in value, so you continue to invest in them. Your house, for instance, constantly needs repairs, upgrades, additions, etc. Your car continues to have value and constantly needs you to financially maintain it, fuel it, and repair it. The things that you place the greatest value upon are generally the things that you maintain with the greatest care. There are so many aspects of your life that demand a great deal of maintenance and care. Your career, yourself, your friendships, and your family. This past week I called Christian because I had some questions about music. I wanted to play that song, and I didn't know if he had all the music picked out. And we had a nice little chat, everything was fine. And then Vince had some reservations about that song. It's not officially a Christian song. It has a great message. But He wasn't comfortable speaking to me about it because he didn't want to hurt my feelings. So he asked Darcy to call me. I told Darcy, don't worry. My goal, my desire, my motivation for participating in every service in every church I have attended has always been to glorify God. Now, Vince probably didn't sit down and ask himself, what's my relationship with Dalen worth to me? However, his actions proved to me that Vince valued our relationship and didn't want to be misunderstood or hurt my feelings in any way. And that made me feel great, even though he did chicken out and have Darcy call. Vince and Darcy both demonstrated to me what their relationship with me was worth to them. Darcy asked me what I was going to preach on, and I said I hadn't decided yet. She said that January is Sanctity of Life Month, and that topic has been in your prayers. And I told her that sounded like a great inspiration for me. So I started thinking about the phrase, sanctity of life. I started thinking about its political meaning. Ouch. Started thinking about its biology meaning. My father, professor of biology, I know a little bit about biology. I thought it's about its religious meaning, sanctity of life. Well, what is sanctity? If you look it up online, you will find several definitions of the word sanctity, and in most definitions, one word is used very often, the word saintly. And when you think of saintly, your thoughts probably imagine visions of robed figures marching around in very ornate halls and all kinds of gold and fancy stuff. Saintly basically means the actions of a saint. Your actions. My actions. The actions of every child of God. Paul addressed all of the Christians in Corinth in a letter he wrote to them. And there are many, many references in God's scripture that address us all, if you are a child of God, as saints. 1 Corinthians 1:2. To God's church at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called as saints, with all those in every place, not just in church, who call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both their Lord and ours. Later he was talking about the proper way to worship, and people were having their own opinions. And he said, since God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And then in Revelation, a book that my father preached about and a book I will rarely touch. This demands the perseverance of the saints who keep God's commands and their faith in Jesus. If you are a child of God, then you are one of these saints, one of his ministers, someone who is faithful. If you are a child of God, then you should act saintly, demonstrate God's wisdom, his instruction, his commands, his love, grace, and forgiveness. What about life? Now, if you have a few hundred hours, you can look it up. Now, I didn't have enough time or enough paper to give you the many definitions of the word life when I typed it in on the internet. What is the definition of life? My tongue is still sticking out on my computer. There is a political definition of life, depending on what country you live in. This definition is very flexible and is based only on majority decision. There is a biological definition of life, which is based on fact. There's a scriptural definition of life that is also factual, but also very personal. Now, how do you discuss sanctity of life or the issue of abortion with someone? Don't ask Dustin, because he used to come to me. Dad, I've been on this Facebook argument with this person about abortion for hours, and I just don't know what to say next. And I'm going, why do you waste your time arguing? You're never going to win. Do you approach the subject from a political standpoint, a biological standpoint, or a religious standpoint? Now, I don't expect any of you ladies to answer this next question, but how many here remember the tagline for the show Adam 12? Come on, Eddie. They would walk up to whoever was involved, and the person would start babbling, and they would interrupt them and say, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. So let's talk about abortion, but leave out all political affiliation. Let's talk about abortion, but leave out all reference to God. But wait a minute, aren't we in church? Shouldn't we leave God in the argument? Yes. Just give me a minute. So let's take God out of the equation. Fill in the blank question. So yell it out if you know it. Abortion. The two sides of the abortion debate are pro-life and what? If you were thinking pro-choice, you would be wrong. Now, don't get up and leave. Let me finish. When it comes to the sanctity of life, I am pro-choice. I don't want anyone telling my wife, my mother, my sister, or any woman that I know that she has to have an abortion. I believe in the sanctity of life. I don't want anyone telling me that my mother is too old and doesn't contribute to society, so her life should be put to an end. I believe in the sanctity of life. I believe in her choice to live. Remember what I said before, just the facts? Taking politics and God out of the debate, we are dealing with an issue of fact and biology, the life and death of an unborn child. The two sides of the issue are, always will be, and cannot be anything else other than pro-life and pro-death. Bingo. You get the Cupid doll. The two sides of the issue are pro-life and pro-death. Pro-life and pro-death. Do not for 1 minute let anyone confuse you or mislead you. I will say it again. According to the facts, the two sides of the abortion issue are pro-life and pro-death because they deal with the life and the death of something. Now remember I said we're not putting God in this yet. Something. Okay? Now, I think I got this right. Where's Darcy? Oh, here's Darcy. Okay. Has anyone here ever eaten fresh vegetables pulled directly from the garden? Good stuff. I want you to picture in my hand a carrot, okay, that I've just pulled from the garden. Question, is this carrot alive? Yes. This carrot is a living organism that would have continued to grow if I had not pulled it out of the ground. If I slice this carrot up into pieces and cook it as my dinner, I have destroyed a living organism. That is a biological fact. Every time I plant a carrot seed in the ground and it germinates and begins to grow, it will only grow into a carrot. This is a biological fact. If someone did not want to have me pull that carrot out of the ground and destroy it, we would be on opposite sides of a debate. The debate would be about the life and the death of that carrot. Biological fact number two, every time a baby is conceived inside the body of a woman, it will grow into a human. If you pull that baby out of that mother and slice it up and destroy it, you are destroying a human life. The decision to destroy it or allow it to live is simply pro-life or pro-death. Anytime you pull a carrot out of the ground, it is still a carrot, no matter how tiny it is. Anytime you pull a human embryo out of a mother, it is still a human, no matter how tiny it is. So what's the difference between a human baby and a carrot? Raise your hands if you don't like carrots. You don't like carrots, do you, Darce? I didn't think so. I thought I had my vegetables right. Now, those of you who raised your hands obviously place a low value on carrots. What are they worth to you? Would you pay a lot of money for a bushel basket of carrots? Probably not. Do you remember that bet I bought this week? What do you think I would have done if she would have not given me that penny? I wouldn't have cared. As I already told you, that bet was worth far more to me than $100. Do you remember Vince chickening out and asking Darcy to call me? What would have happened if I would have made a big stink and said, I want that song no matter what. I want things my way. Would that have strengthened our relationship? Would that have glorified God? Would that have added to the value of anything? Obviously, no, no, and no. Sanctity of life. I value and respect all life that God has created and everyone that God has created. I value and respected the two people I bought the bed from. I value and respect Vince and Darcy. God's word has directed me to act holy, righteously, and saintly because I am a child of God. The reason I took God out of the equation when I was talking about the carrot is because many people I have discussions about abortion with do not value God. They only value their own intelligence and beliefs. Many times, I find it easier to debate someone, convince someone, or question someone if I do it on their terms. So I take God out of the equation. I just talk about the facts. Hopefully, after we have discussed the facts, they can see that I am not attacking them. I am only seeking the truth. If I manage to persuade them to change their mind, then I introduce them to the truth. And my people who are called by my name, humble themselves. You don't blast into an argument like that. You don't start waving sticks and shaking a Bible at them. What do? You humble yourselves, pray, seek God's face, and turn from their evil ways. Then I will hear them from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. If you are a child of God, then you are a saint. If you are a saint, then you should act saintly. If you are holy and saintly, then you should believe in the sanctity of life. If you believe in the sanctity of life, you should live like you believe in the sanctity of life. Where's Caleb? Caleb, all right. Give me a good big voice here. Do you like to argue? I knew I might get a chuckle. Let me rephrase that. Do you like to win arguments?
Yes.
Okay. Which one do you like better? Have you ever had a debate with someone over the sanctity of life? Did you win?
Yes.
you kind of paused there. Let me rephrase that. Did they just give up and leave? And you considered it a victory, or did you change their mind and they agreed with you?
They left.
Does winning a debate about the sanctity of life prove that you believe in the sanctity of life, or you're just good at debates? Good at debates. How do you prove that you believe in the sanctity of life? Has anyone ever asked you the following questions? I know your mother has. Caleb, why did you do that? Why did you say that? Why are you wearing that? Why are you eating that? And why do you believe that? Now think about communion. You invited a friend to church. Why did you do that? Why did you say that? Why are you wearing that? Why are you, wearing a nice outfit? Coming to church, honoring God, respecting God. Why are you eating that? Why do you believe that? When you think about the sanctity of your life and these questions, who does it apply to? Just babies? Or the slow guy or gal in traffic? The jerk you have to work with every day? Everyone in line at the checkout counter? Your family and friends? How about everyone that sees you? John 13, 34 to 35. I give you a new command. Now look at the punctuation. I give you a new command. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, pause. you must also love one another. That gives us an example. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This verse is actually talking about Christians and Christians. If we don't love one another, how can we prove that we love non-Christians? If you are a saint, then act saintly. Now, this list that I just gave you leaves out two. It's not complete. And I was thinking about Jeff. Does it apply to you? Do you believe in the sanctity of your own life? Is it valuable? How valuable is it to you? Does it apply to God? Do you believe that God has been, is continuing, and will continue to sanctify your life as you faithfully follow Him? What about God? How valuable is God? How valuable is your relationship, God? What's it worth to you? Your time? How many hours a day do you spend surfing the web, playing video games, golf, tennis, baseball, football, fishing, whatever, and prayer? Your talent? Do you sing for millions or do you sing for God? Now, nothing against the worship team. We had a great time, and I just love playing with you guys. One worship team I was involved in, you know what we prayed every single time when we had our prayer before worshiping? We said, "Help us, Lord, to play for an audience of one. We are here to pray and sing and honor you." I don't care if anybody out there claps. I don't care if they say amen. I don't care if they sing along. We're here to pray and worship God, audience of one. Your treasure, your trophy. Yes, I thank my manager, I thank my publicist, and I thank my mommy. And I thank God. Your task, your trade, your tummy. How you please yourself. Or your temptations. Some people weigh sin and their relationship with God. Which one wins today? Which one wins today? It's Monday. I got plenty of time to confess before Sunday, so yeah, God, oops, sorry. Have you ever seen a great tennis player who never practiced? Have you ever heard of a chef who only entered the kitchen once a week? Would you ask directions from someone who had never read a map or walked a path? Most of us have made a list of the pros and cons of making a major purchase or making a major decision. You sit down with a piece of paper and pencil. Yeah, I'm dating myself. And you begin. Column A, everything in favor. Column B, everything against. Which column is bigger? Which column makes more sense? Which column is more expensive? Which column, blah, blah, blah. Question, question, question. How about a daily planner? Now, I know those are kind of old too, but they put them on computers too. Do you guys have a daily planner? Tells you what you're going to do, what you plan on doing that day. What would happen if I, me, would carry a notebook with me and write down everything that I said and everything that I did in a 24-hour day? Then I put a check mark beside everything that proves that I believe that there is great value in the sanctity of the life of Jesus Christ my Lord. How many check marks would I have? How much proof would there be that I truly believe in the sanctity of the life of Jesus Christ my Savior and my Lord? How valuable is the life of Jesus Christ? I don't know if it's actually in Scripture, but my father said this a million times, that Jesus would have went to the cross and gave his life if only just for you. That's how much love he had. He was willing to give his life for just one. But he's willing to give his life for everyone. How valuable is that? What do you have in your life that you value more? What do you pay more, invest more in, pay more attention to, give more time, talent, treasure, everything to? How valuable? Do you believe in the sanctity of unborn life? Do you believe in the sanctity of your own life? Do you believe in the sanctity of the life of all who oppose you? Do you believe in the sanctity of the life of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit? Then go forth and live a saintly life above all, and strive to demonstrate that you have been and will pass on saintly forgiveness and saintly love all. I can't remember if Dad would used to say, if Dad would ever say, can I get an amen? I know Ollie used to say amen a lot. Second to the last sermon that my dad ever preached, he said, the word amen says, I agree. So, sir, I agree. So I don't know if this message was worth anything to you, but can I get an amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, so often we fail. So often we stumble. So often we fall. Give us the courage, the wisdom, and the words, and the strength to reach out to you so that you can pick us up. To reach out to you so you can instruct us. Give us the words that we need and the wisdom that we need to love anyone we are talking with and not debating with, so that we can show them your love and your forgiveness. And don't leave me out of the equation, God. Please give me the courage and the words to apologize and ask forgiveness from anyone that I have harmed. Be with us as we honor you, honor your word, and honor the sanctity of life. Amen.